be here with you folks. I am grateful. We're sitting here thinking about being a child in church. I've been in church all my life, and I'm thinking about these two young ladies and the young man that was there, and I can remember sitting in church and doing just what they're doing, going to sleep. Well, that's okay. It's really all right. I'm not fussing about that, because listen, I picked up stuff while I was asleep that I didn't know I was getting. You see my little computer here, this little iPad? This thing has I can go online with it, and there's a website I can go to that streams the Bible, and I listen to the Bible all night long while I'm asleep. You say, well, you don't get nothing out of it. Let me tell you something. Your spirit man never sleeps. The real me never sleeps. It's my body that sleeps. It's my body that gets tired. The spirit man in me doesn't ever go to sleep, so them babies sleeping don't bother me a bit. The Bible says God gives to us in our sleep. It's in the book. It says that God gives to us in our sleep. Now you say, well, they don't know what they got. Well, it comes up later. Comes up later. When I was that age, I didn't know God would send me out to minister to His people. I had no idea about that. And probably wouldn't even wanted to. But many times God brings us places and does things that we don't have any idea He's going to do. We really don't. We don't know all that God's doing. I learned this. Three things about God that you can always remember. He's good. He loves you. And He knows more than you do.
Amen.
Don't make any difference how much you know. God knows more than you do.
Absolutely.
He knows more than I do. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit this morning about Noah and his sons. One day, I get up in the mornings and walk. And one day here, 3 or 4 months ago, early in the morning, I was out walking. And I got a little dog that walks with me. And I haven't figured out yet whether I'm walking him or he's walking me. But we go walking together. And I was praying and just walking along, praying. And all of a sudden, I had this thought. And this is what the thought was. Noah could not have accomplished the assignment that God gave him without his sons. Go look in your Bible at the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we're gonna read a little bit, and I want to just talk to you and tell you how important it is that we understand what God is doing, not only in us, but what He's doing in our children, our sons and daughters. Cheryl? Is it Cheryl or Sherelle? Let me tell you something, dear. Those three young children that you have is a great assignment that God has given you. They are a blessing. Now, I know they're trouble, too. I know kids are problems. You know, you got responsibilities. But God trusted you with them. You need to understand that God trusted you with them. One day, when I was a little boy, God had trusted my mama and daddy with me. They were entrusted with me to raise me up, to be and to do what God wanted me to do. So God's trusted you with three eternal beings. And He has a purpose in all of that. You think, well, these children, they just eat a lot and they get in trouble and they do all kinds of stuff. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. They're kids. But you're raising them up and training them up. And your mama has a wonderful privilege, dear. Destiny, is that right? Yeah. Your mama has a wonderful privilege God gave you to her, for her to raise you up. And God gave Noah 3 sons because God was going to give to Noah an assignment. Now let's read it in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That means he found favor. And he found help in God. God's your help. Raising those 3 children, you've got to work and you've got all kinds of stuff to do. But God will give you grace. He'll give you help to do that. But you have to go to Him. You have to go to Him. And He'll give you help. And Pastor James, Sister Carolyn, these children that God has given you, you found grace in God's eyes that He's given you His sons and daughters here, and He'll give you help. You found grace in God's eyes for Him to give you. You say, "Well, He didn't give us very many." Well, here's the precept. He gives to us according to our ability. According to our ability. You say, "Well, them old boys over there, they got 500. Well, maybe they can handle them. But I watch a lot of them. I don't think they handle them very well. they got a lot, but I don't think they take care of them very well. Jesus only had 12, and He's the Son of God.
Amen.
And in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I don't pray for the world." He's verse 9, I think it is. He said, "I don't pray for the world." He said, "I pray for these You've given Me."
Yes, yes.
So God's blessed you and given you an assignment to raise up these sons and daughters because He's got some things for you to do with and through them. Dexter, there's stuff God's given them to do that they can't do without you. I'm going to show you here in a minute that Noah could not have done what God gave him to do if it hadn't been for his sons. I got things that God's given me to do that I can't do without my sons and daughters that He's given me. You're very important in my life. Believe it or not, we don't see each other a lot, but God put you in my life on purpose. Put me in your life on purpose. It didn't just happen as an accident. God knew about that a long time ago. And so he says, Noah found grace in God's eyes. Down in verse 13, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before Me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" Now listen to what he said in verse 14. "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. And cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits." Now a cubit is 18 inches or a foot and a half. So that thing was 450 feet long. How far is it from the street to the back of your property? 200 and some odd feet? Well, the thing go on another 200 and some odd feet past where your property line is. And then it says, its width is 50 cubits. That's 75 feet wide. How wide is your property?
I think it's about
100. 100. Take 25 feet off, and that's how wide the thing is. And it says its height is 30 cubits. That's 45 feet high. It's taller than the peak of your house. The peak of the roof of your house isn't 40 feet. It's 45 feet tall. "You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in the side, and you shall make it with lower and third and second decks." And so, Pastor James, how would you like to start on building a boat that's 450 feet long by yourself? And 75 feet wide by yourself. 45 feet high by yourself. Well, Noah was given that assignment, but God had given him 3 sons. Now, here the story of Noah and his sons is in, and you should go read it sometime. It's in Genesis chapter 6 through chapter 9. Just 6, 7, 8, 9. Four chapters. It tells us about Noah and everything that happened from the time God talked with him to, and told him to build the ark till after the flood. So, it takes them 100 years to build that thing. Who knows what a Lowe's is? Or a Home Depot? You know what a Home Depot or Lowe's? Well, they didn't have none of those then. Yeah, a shopping center where you could go buy lumber and nails and stuff. They didn't have none of that stuff back then. To get the lumber for that thing, Noah had to cut down trees. And he had to saw it up. There was no lumber yard to go to. No place. He had to, if he used nails, he had to make his own nails. That's why it took him 100 years. But if he'd had to do it by himself, he'd have never got it done. But he had three sons that God gave him. God told me very clearly, Noah could not have finished the assignment that I gave him without the sons. See, God, before God gave Noah the assignment, he gave him the sons. His sons were already grown men when God started talking to him about it. But here's the thing, and here's the thing you need to understand. Sister, while you raising up these children, you see, there's an assignment on your life, and there's an assignment on the life of these children, but it can't happen if you don't find out what God, how God wants you to be a mama to them, a godly mama, and to train them up to become what God wants them to be. Now, here's the thing. Now, think with me. As you read this, you'll find that Noah and his son, Noah's sons had wives, so they were grown men when this happened. They had wives. It says when they went in the ark, Noah and his sons and their wives. So they may have got married somewhere while they were building the thing. I don't know. But they were grown men. And here's the issue. These men, God never spoke directly to them. It says, the Lord said to Noah. Did you see that? 13. Verse 13, yeah. And God said to Noah. And you read a little further down. In verse 22 it says, thus Noah did according to all that the God commanded him. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. Everything, every time you read in chapters 6 through 9, you find that in 6, 7, and 8, God only spoke to Noah. It doesn't say he spoke to his sons. Then in chapter 9, in verse 1, it says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them. So look at me. Here's the thing I want you to hear. God said to Noah, build this ark. God did not tell his sons, didn't tell Noah's sons how big to build the ark. Didn't tell him what, if we read in chapter 6, he even told him what kind of wood to use. All of that stuff. Told him what dimensions, what kind of wood. But he didn't tell the boys. Now, you say, well, how did those guys know? Noah told them what God said. Sometimes God tells you stuff. He don't tell these people, he tells you, or tells her. And then you all have to be willing to listen. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. But what if Noah's sons would have said that? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, God gave you as sons and daughters to these people here. And you say, well, they're not my mom and daddy. Well, they kind of like that as far as God is concerned. And as you hear what God has told them. I'm not playing games and being foolish. God only told Noah. And these three men, they were grown men, they committed and signed on to a deal. It'd take 100 years of their own life to do what God told their daddy. Well, I don't want to do that. See, there was three of them, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And if old Ham had said, I don't think I want to do that. Well, that's a thought. I mean, he could have. But here's the deal. Noah was such a father to his sons that he raised them up to hear what he said. He trained them in such a way, and had such Noah himself had such integrity and godliness that his sons trusted him. They trusted him. They believed they had seen evidence that he heard from God. And so that put a responsibility on Noah, puts a responsibility on you, puts a responsibility on me, the people that God gave me and where I am and the people he's put in my life, for me to be a man of integrity, a man of deliberate, on-purpose integrity. And so Noah trained up his sons to listen to his voice. And what we need to see and need to understand is that Noah could not have accomplished the task without his sons. Sister, and brother and sister, I want to say this to all of you. God Almighty, the Father Himself, had something to accomplish that He couldn't do without His Son.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? God couldn't have accomplished what He accomplished without His Son. And you say, well, Jesus had to come. No, He didn't have to come. He said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. He chose to do that. He yielded Himself to the will of His Father. Not my. Remember what He said in the garden? Not my will. He had a will. He could have done something else. He could have chose something else. He would have said, but not my will, Your will. So when you think about it and look at it, even God Almighty Himself had to have His Son that would hear His voice to do what He intended to do. You say, man, I never thought about it. Well, when I had that thought, I'd never thought about it before either. I believe God gave it. God said, I had to have my son. I had a son that heard and listened. I have a son that heard and listened. And so God's looking for sons and daughters that learn to hear and listen to the voice of God. Sometimes it's not easy. I guarantee you, think about it. It took them 100 years to build that ark. And did you know that it had never rained before? And when you read that, God said, I'm going to send rain. He said, I'm going to flood the whole earth. It never had rain before. And they're building this boat out there in the middle of the... What if somebody just cleared off a bunch of houses here and started building a big boat right out here in your neighborhood? You'd be thinking, this guy's crazy. And they'd be talking about you and sending letters around about how you better get them crazy people out of our neighborhood, because God knows what they might do because they're crazy. Don't you know that they talked about Noah like that? Talked about his sons like that? And they had to put up with that stuff. I guarantee you, there's some people here in your neighborhood that say, them crazy homes, they got a church in their little garage back there. And they're back there talking to people about Jesus. That ain't a real church. I guarantee you there's somebody doing that. And you probably maybe even know who they are. I don't know. Let me tell you something that happened one time. This, when we first went to Alexandria, this is back in 1975. Long time ago, darling. Don't seem too long to me. But anyway, we were having a big meeting. We'd rented a building downtown where our meeting place was an old store. It had been a clothing store. And we rented that building on 3rd Street in Alexandria, Louisiana. And we were having a guest speaker come in, just like you all got me coming in here. But we had a few people. We had a little bit bigger place. And I went to the newspaper and was going to buy an ad in the newspaper to advertise that we had this guest speaker coming in and wanted people to know about it so maybe they'd come to the meeting, maybe hear something from God that would be useful to them. And so I'm talking to this man at the newspaper, and told him what I wanted to do. I had a picture of the man that I wanted to put in, just a little ad about that big in a paper, and had a little picture, and he's going to put it in there. And we told him what time the meetings were and the address and all of that. And he said, well, who are you? I said, well, I'm the pastor. He says, and back then we called the place the Charismatic Teaching Center. And he said, what is that? I said, it's a church. And so I went on, and he was writing all this stuff up and fixing up the ad that they were going. He said, is that a real church? Is that a real church? See, we didn't have a building with a steeple on it. And we didn't have a parking lot. We were downtown. The only parking lot we had was a street, you know, park on a street. And that kind of thing. And is that a real church? He said. And I wanted to hit him. You know. To aggravate. I didn't, but I thought, man, what do you mean, is that a real church? Yeah, God comes there with us. God comes here. This is a real church. You don't have to have a church building to be the church is the people. The church is not the building. And so Noah's family, Noah and his wife and Noah's sons and their wives, that was the church. They were the people of God. They gathered together. When they gathered together for a meal, it was the church working. And when they gathered together to work on that ark, it was the church working. It was the church obeying God, doing what that was the assignment that God had given the church. Now, you say, well, God didn't give us any assignment. Yeah, He did. He gave you these people here. To train them up, raise them up to learn how to hear the voice of God. He gave you those young people that you got, those children that you have, to train them up, raise them up to learn how to follow God. Because one day, they're going to be grown and you're going to be an old lady. And they're going to have figured out whether or not they're going to walk with God because of what you trained them to do. The only reason I learned how to walk with God is because my mama and daddy taught me. Now, there's a lot of folks I know. Down in our church, we go to 6 prisons. And, we go and minister and preach the good news to a lot of guys in prison. The reason those guys are in prison mostly is because they didn't have mamas and daddies that raised them up and trained them to walk in the ways of God. Now, some of them old boys in that prison, they went to church, but they didn't pay no attention. They chose not to pay any attention and listen, so they end up in prison. A lot of times I'll ask them, I got 40 or 50 men sitting out there listening, I say, how many of you guys knew the Lord? Some of them even saved before they went to prison. I say, you can't be saved and go to prison. Oh yeah, they save people in prison. They save people that tell lies and steal and kill folks. They knew the Lord, they just didn't obey God. Because somebody didn't really train them. Got to be trained to learn how to live right. You know, even I got a puppy dog. Now, I like him. He's a good dog, but he ain't trained. He does what he dad burn well pleases. He don't pay no attention to me at all. Unless he wants to do what I'm doing. Well, really, that's not a good dog. A good dog ought to follow you around and do what. One day I tried to put him on, put a leash on. I did put the leash on him. He went crazy. He went crazy, jerking and pulling and all kinds of stuff. That's what we do with God sometimes when He tries to put some controls on us. We go to jerking and yanking around. Go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. What are them sons of Noah? I don't want to do that. I'm not doing that. Get out of here. Don't tell me that. I'm going to go do my thing. Well, if he went and done his thing, he'd have been there with the rest of them folks when that ark was floating off. And he'd have drowned with the rest of them. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But Noah trained his sons to hear his voice. Noah trained his sons to pay attention and listen. And so It's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful blessing that we have to be able to have the assignment that God has given us and to fulfill the commission that He's given us to raise up sons and daughters. One day the Lord told me, said, He said, I've given you three eternal beings. See, everybody's going to live forever somewhere. Everybody's going to live forever somewhere. Maybe not your body, but your spirit man. You understand what I'm saying? And so you're either going to live with God in heaven forever, or going to live with the enemy forever in that other place. Depends on who your God is. And so the Lord said, I've given you these three eternal beings. And I said, oh, what an assignment. And then one day after they got grown up a little bit and began to get out on their own, and some of them not really walking where I wanted them to or where I thought they ought to, the Lord said, I gave them to you when you didn't know what to do with them and didn't know how to train them. Trust me with them now that they're grown. So, sister, God will teach you how to raise up your children. And in the day will come when they're grown that you're going to have to trust Him with them. You know, but if you put what you're doing, bringing them here to this place, taking the time to listen to the Word, do you read the Bible with them any at all? Good. That's good. That's a good thing. You're putting something in them that'll do them good when they get my age, when they get as old as you are. It'll help them. Probably won't have to go visit them in prison. Sad thing for a mama to have to, or a daddy to have to go visit his son or his daughter in prison because he didn't train them. And if they do that, that's usually the biggest reason, is because the parents didn't train them to do right. And maybe didn't even know how. Let me tell you what. If you got questions come up and you don't know what to do with them, go talk to these folks. They've been there, done that. They may not have done it all right themselves when they was around, but they learned some things. So don't be afraid to ask them. And let me tell you something. The only dumb question is the one you didn't ask. Are you hearing me? That's the only dumb question, is the one you didn't ask. It's a good thing that I ask God questions all the time, because I found out He knows more than I do. He has answers for us if we'll ask. Here's something you can remember. God does not answer questions you don't ask. You don't ask the question, you don't get the answer. He does not answer questions that you do not ask. So, Noah, let's go to chapter 9. And we'll read a little bit there about what God said to Noah and his sons. Now, this is after the flood. You say, well, how come you didn't talk about the flood? Well, I could have, but I don't. The Lord just told me to share with you about Noah and his sons and how that Noah could not have accomplished the assignment that God had given him if he hadn't had his sons. God gave him those sons. Noah was faithful to raise up his sons in a way that they learned to hear his voice. And so the four of them together, Noah and his three sons, built that ark. What did the ladies do? Well, they may have helped, Bob. They probably fixed lots of meals, washed a lot of clothes, took care, carried lumber, and did all kinds of stuff to help them do what God had given them to do. Genesis 9, verse 1, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them. Now, see, they'd already built the ark and they'd already been through the flood. So now God's talking to Noah and his sons. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Did you know that's exactly the same thing God said to Adam? It's exactly the same thing that God said to Adam. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He said, verse 2, he says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the air and on all that move on the earth, all the fish of the sea, and they are given into your hand. When it says they were given into your hand, it means he had authority. He had dominion. The same thing God said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, let us give them dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. God's saying exactly the same thing to Noah and his sons that he said to Adam. Actually, what God's doing, brothers and sisters, is starting over again. He's starting over again. He says, every moving, verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, and you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is the blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it. And from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever, look at verse 6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. What he said was, and that's, we've changed those laws. God said if a man kills a man, he's going to get to die. If a man sheds another man's blood with malice and anger, he said, whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. He's going to be executed. It's a, what we call capital punishment. But we don't believe it. The government we live in, the places we live, they don't believe in that. And the reason why, because they don't believe God's word. God never changed that. God never changed that. And look at verse 7. He says, as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. So he's telling him exactly the same thing he told Adam. Look at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons. See, God's talking to Noah and his sons now. See, chapter 6, 7, and 8, he didn't talk to the sons. I think this. I think because the sons did listen to Noah and did obey Noah, that now God trusts Noah's sons and he talks to them. See, God tells his secrets to those that love him. It's in the book. It says that in the Psalms. Do you have a computer?
Not really.
You don't? Do you have access to one?
Mm-hmm.
Go online and go to some Bible.com or something and look up two words, secret and Lord. Find the verses that have the phrase secret and Lord, or the secrets and Lord. God shares his secrets with those that love him, those that trust him. God's got some secret things, some hidden things. And he tells those to the ones that trust him. And these men, by listening to their father and doing what their father said, demonstrated that they not only trusted their father, but they trusted God. And so now it says, God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, verse 9, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. So God's reestablishing a covenant with man. Now, God wants to do the same thing with each of us. He wants to walk in covenant relationship with us. And through Jesus Christ, that's how we do that. When you receive Jesus as Lord, you've been born again, sister? Okay, well, you're in covenant relationship with God. And the promises that God makes in His covenant, one of them is to give you His secrets as you draw near to Him. Tell you things that other folks might not know in your circumstance. Tell you things in your circumstance that you need to know to be able to accomplish the purpose that you have. Dexter, he'll tell you things on your job that you don't know. Because you have favor with God, that favor will work in your benefit and even give you access to situations and circumstances on your job that other people wouldn't figure out or wouldn't know or wouldn't understand. You have favor with God and he'll do that. And so he says here that I'll establish my covenant with you. Relationship, covenant relationship with God. And it's a thing that is a great blessing. It's a great blessing and a privilege that we have in being able to ask God questions. Ask God questions. I don't find a place necessarily in the scripture where Noah asked God questions, but I believe this. I believe that Noah might have got a little quick, a little further along if he'd asked God questions. I mean, a little quicker. Let me show you something. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes here. I don't know what time. When are we supposed to? Do we have a time element here? I don't want to run over and I don't want to wear you out.
Okay. No, we got time. I'll duck out for a few minutes.
Okay. We'll just take a break. How's that? If you need to, we'll just stop. We can just stop for a minute. You, if you need, you said you need to duck out. Is that what you said?
I don't want to put my mother on the bus.
Okay. We'll go do that. And we can just, I'll sit here and talk with the people.
She's going to call me.
Oh. Oh, she, I thought you were just going to go over there.
Well, I usually do, but I'll let her call me.
Okay. Well, that's, I understand that. All right. Let me see here. I got something that I wanted to look at here. Let me see if I can find it. I wanted to share a little bit with you about how we can ask God questions. Turn in your Bible to Genesis 12. Are we just going to take a few minutes about Abraham? This we'll call this lesson number two. Let me ask you this. Did you have any thoughts or questions yourself about the thing about Noah? No questions. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. The question you do not ask are the questions you don't get answers to. You say, "Well, I don't have a question." I understand. Well, okay. I've come to the place where what I do, I ask God, "What is the question? Is there some question I should be asking?" You see, and when we can do that, take time to ask him questions. Here it is. I finally got to what I was looking for. Just a minute. Asking the Lord questions. Okay. Get a little few notes here so I remember what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you all the nations of the, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Verse 4. "So Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him." Now, God spoke to Abram, and Abram obeyed. He did, and that's good. But look in this same chapter, down at verse 9. He left, and he went where God told him to go. Genesis chapter 12, verse 9, it says, "So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land." All right, now think with me. Did you know Abraham was not a carpenter? And he wasn't a bricklayer. He was a shepherd. He was a cattle farmer. And sheep and cows need two things. What? Food, that's right. Grass and water is what he said. That's right. And it says there was a famine in the land. Do anybody know what causes a famine? No rain. That's right. A drought. Let me tell you what. It takes a while. But if for 3 years we didn't have any rain, there wouldn't be no grass. And there wouldn't be no... You got to have rain to raise crops. You say, "Well, we can irrigate." Well, yeah, they do. They irrigate. But did you know if it don't rain and replenish the water in the earth, even the wells that they pump water out of run dry? Last year, in the state of Louisiana, where it's known for when I first moved to Louisiana, the first 6 months I lived there, it rained every day. It doesn't rain. The climate has changed. There's no doubt about that. But last year in the summer, my son lives in a subdivision, and there's a lot of houses have swimming pools. He said the deer were coming out of the woods and drinking water out of the swimming pools because the streams were dry. It hadn't rained. Now that's bad. And they was drinking water that wasn't good for them. It's got chlorine in it, but they needed water, so they were drinking that swimming pool water. Well, now, in Abraham's day, he went where God told him to go, and when he gets there, there's a famine, and so he goes south to Egypt, and the reason he goes down to Egypt, because they got a river. They got water down there. There's no famine in Egypt, so he goes down there, but God didn't tell him to go. And let me ask you a question. Do you think maybe that when God told Abram to go over there to this particular place, that God knew there was a famine there? I think God knew. Because my Bible tells me God is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And He's omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. He knows everything and He's everywhere. You can't go no place that ain't God. And so when God told him to go down there, he knew there was a famine there. So what he did, he gave Abraham an opportunity to say, okay, now, Father, you sent me here. What do you want me to do? But he didn't. He just did the natural thing, what seemingly was the wise thing. He went down to Egypt. Now, if you know the story, he got down there and he lied. He said Sarah was just his sister. She was his half-sister, but she was also his wife. So he told half the truth. Now let me tell you a story. Half the truth is a whole lie. Half the truth is a whole lie. If you tell me half the truth, you just told me a lie. Did I hear somebody groan? Yes, sir.
Then it seems like he set a pattern,
because
then his son did it too.
He did. Later on, Isaac did the same thing. And so he gets down there, he lies about his wife, and gets her to lie. She did. She told Pharaoh, yeah, he's just my brother. She didn't. But I guarantee, if you're married and your husband tells you to lie that you ain't his wife, you just his sister, you ain't going to be happy with your husband.
You got that right.
Well, Sarah, I'm pretty sure she wasn't happy with him. She did it, but she wasn't happy with him. And then they go down there, and all for grass and for water, and Abraham could have said, okay, God, now you told me to come here. What are you doing? What do you want me to do? Now, God, if God wanted him to go to Egypt, he would have told him. But I don't think God wanted him to go to Egypt, because I don't think God wanted him to lie. God worked in the midst of that mess. I'm going to show you something here in a minute about Abraham's son, that he had the same situation and what he did. But he goes down there, he lies, gets her to be a liar, and then while he's down there, God tells, still in the midst of all of that, God takes care of him. If you read the 12th, 13th chapter of Genesis, he takes care of him. But then while he's down there, he gets a little girl named Hagar, a little Egyptian girl, a slave, and he brings her back. And a few chapters later in Genesis, Sarah says, well, God's restrained me from bearing. I can't have children. So here I'm going to give you this, my maid, and we'll have children by her. Well, so now he says, well, okay. And so here we find Abraham went two places. He didn't ask God about that either.
No, he didn't.
I know he didn't. He did not ask God. So he went to Egypt, and he went to Hagar's bedroom. He didn't have no business going either place. But he went because he didn't ask God. When God tells you to do something and situations and circumstances aren't like you think they ought to be, you better be asking God, what he's doing, and you better be willing to wait a little while to get an answer, because he may not answer you in 5 minutes. So when God gives instructions, don't you be figuring out what the answer is. You be asking God what his deal is. Now go to what his deal is. Genesis 26, verse 1. I'm going to step over here and get my water. I'm sorry, I'm stepping out of that camera. I didn't bring it with me. Genesis 26, verse 1. Now, what we're going to read here is about 75 years later. Maybe more. Because Isaac's a grown man and married now. Genesis 26, verse 1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. See, there's another famine, just like the one that Abraham had, but now it's Isaac's turn. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land of which I shall tell you." Let me tell you, one day I was reading that, and I said, "God, that's not fair. You didn't tell Abraham not to go, and you told Isaac not to go. How come you didn't tell Abraham?" And he said, "Abraham didn't ask." And I said, "It doesn't say Isaac asked." And he said, "Yeah, it does." Now, look with me. Verse 2. The Lord appeared to him and said. Now, if you go to... How many of you know what a Strong's Concordance is? You know what that is? If you go in your Strong's Concordance and look in that verse where that word said is used, it could have been translated answered. The Lord answered and said. Well, why would the Lord have answered? Huh? He would have answered because Isaac asked. Isaac asked the question. So the Lord answered him and said, "Don't go down to Egypt." Now, think with me. Sometimes when you read the Bible, boys and girls, you got to think. I said, "Okay, God, why did Isaac ask you?" See, there's a reason why Isaac asked God, "Okay, here's a famine, what do you want me to do?" God said, "Don't go down to Egypt." Let me tell you why I believe that Isaac asked the question. Now, the Bible don't say none of this. I believe I got this from the Lord. Because God will tell you secrets that you don't know when you draw near to Him. The Lord said this to me. He said, "One day, Isaac, when he was a young boy, said to his daddy, he said, 'Daddy, how come my brother Ishmael has a mama different than I do?'" You think kids don't ask questions? How come Ishmael, my older brother, he's 10 or 12, 13 years older than Isaac. He said, "How come my brother has a mama different than I do?" And Abraham said, "Well, if you need to go, brother, go ahead. It's all right." Abraham said, "Well, let me tell you the story." So he goes back and he tells Isaac that God called him out of Ur of Chaldees. He went down to this place, and when he got there, he got there in time for a famine. Sometimes when God tells us to do something and we do what He says do, we get there just in time to have a big problem.
Amen.
That's just the way it works. God tells you to do something. He knows the problem's going to be there, but He lets you go there to find out if you're going to do what you want to do, what you can figure out to do, or you're going to ask Him what to do. If we don't ask God what He wants us to do, we'll do what we want to. And usually we're going to mess it up. And so Abraham's telling his son Isaac, "I went down to where God told me to go, and when we got there was a famine, and the sheep and goats needed water and grass, so we went down to Egypt. We went south on God." A lot of folks go south on God whenever there's problems. When there's problems, we go south on God. Abraham did. And so he said, I went down there, but he said, "I didn't ask God what I was supposed to do. God had told me to come over here, But we got a famine, no grass, no water, so them sheep and goats were important. They died, I'm broke, so I went down there. But he said, I didn't ask God. Now I got down there and I had to lie, made your mama lie, and we ended up getting that little girl named Hagar, and that's why your brother has a mama different than you. Ishmael and Isaac both had the same daddy, but they didn't have the same mama. So Isaac asked the question. Now look, let's read it. Genesis 26, verse 1 and 2. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down." He answered, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I will tell you." Look at verse 3. "Stay in this land, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge." Abraham did do what God said do, but he missed him a couple of times. He went down to Egypt because he didn't ask. Now God didn't throw him away because he missed it. He could have stayed right there. God would have said to him the same thing that he said to Isaac. He would have told him to stay in the land. Now look at verse 26. Verse 12. It says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him." Now here's the deal. The famine is there. He says, "What am I supposed to do?" God says, "Stay in the land." And then Isaac asks another question, I believe. It doesn't say he did. And it doesn't say God answered, but it says he sowed in the land. Did you know that that word sowed is not in your Bible from Genesis 12, where it starts out with Abraham, up to Genesis 26, verse 12? That's the first time that word, to sow, means to plant. Abraham never planted one seed. Isaac was a cattle farmer, and he was a dirt farmer. He planted seed in the ground. Why did he do that? God said, "Stay in the land." He said, "Okay, I'm going to stay in the land. What do you want me to do in the land?" He said, I don't have no water and grass for my sheep." God said, "Plant some seed." Well, now that's crazy, because you all just told me that in a famine, there's a drought. There's no water. If you plant seed and there's no water, it likely ain't going to come up, right?
Right.
Well, here's what happened. Isaac did what God said. He asked him, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "Plant some seed." When he planted seed, God sent rain, because he obeyed God. When you do what God says do, God will meet the need. And nobody else, because it was a famine, nobody else planted any seed. Or if they did, Isaac was already way ahead of them, and already had his planted, and it was growing up, and he got his crops off. How many of you know the guy that's got the early crop makes the most money?
Yes.
That is true. In 1947, long time ago, my dad had a small patch of okra. And okra, I don't know what you pay for it today, 75, 80 cents a pound, I guess, maybe more, if you buy it fresh. Back then, he got the first bushel of okra that was at the packing shed. They gave him $25, which back in 1947, $25 was nearly a month's wages for a working man with a family. They give him $25 that'd be like getting $2,000 for a bushel of okra today. Give him $25 for a bushel of okra because he got the first one. Well, Isaac planted, and listen what it says. Verse 12. 26:12, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to what? To prosper, and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Three times some form of the word prosper is used in that one verse. He says he began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. He made a lot of money. God blessed him. You know why? Because he asked God questions and he did what God said do. When he got to a circumstance where it was bad, situation and circumstance was not what he wanted it to be, he asked God, "What do I do?" God said, "Stay in the land." I believe he'd have said to Abraham, "Stay in the land, because that's where I brought you." When you come into a situation in your life that something happens that you don't understand, you don't like, you think it's not right, don't just do what you can figure out. Go ask God what He's doing. Ask God what He's saying. And then wait a while and give God time to answer. Because sometimes it isn't that God doesn't want to answer right now, but sometimes we're not able to hear right now. I have to get still and get quiet. Folks going around with them earplugs in their ears, listening to all kinds of music, they can't hear God. Now, I may be messing with you when I say that, but you got all that stuff going in your head. You got to get quiet, because the Bible says when God speaks, it's a still small voice. You got to draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. If you're just out doing what you think is right, it may not be evil. For Abraham to go down south to Egypt wasn't evil in God's eyes. It just wasn't what God wanted him to do. God didn't punish him for that. It just wasn't what God was saying, but he didn't ask God what to do. So the whole thought behind this is when you come up on a situation that is questionable, that don't seem to fit what God said. God said, go down here to this land that I will show you. We always think that if we do what God's saying do, that everything's going to be just right. But many times you do what God says do and all hell breaks loose. Well, ask God what He's doing. What do you want me to do? Don't just go do what you can figure out. Because what you can... How many of you know the Bible says, and you can write this verse down, Isaiah 55 verse 8. God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And then he says, my word comes down like rain to water the earth. I'm going to quit with this. When the rain comes down, if you're standing out in the rain, you know what? You're going to get wet, right? When God's word comes down like rain, stand out in the rain, get wet. Let Him water you. Throw your umbrella away. That's one time you don't want an umbrella. You want God's Word to soak in. Let it saturate your soul. Most folks walk around with their spiritual umbrella, and God's talking all the time, but they don't get wet. They're not listening, is what I'm trying to say. You got to throw your spiritual umbrella away and start listening for what God's saying. Take time to listen. Take time to be still and ask God the question. And you say, well, I don't even know what questions to ask. Well, ask God that. What questions should I be asking? If you ask Him what questions you should be asking, He'll even tell you that. Or He might bring a scripture to your mind to go read a scripture, and you read that scripture and you say, what does that mean? Well, that's a question. If you ask God questions, He'll give you answers, brothers and sisters. And you'll get the answer He wants you to have, not the answer that you can figure out. Hallelujah. Anybody got a question?
Just got a comment.
All right. That's good.
I've read about Noah many, many times. But today, it's just like, it was just opened up in a deeper measure to me.
I understand.
And some things I can apply to my own life.
Praise God.
And it's interesting how when He tells you to do something, He sends you to a famine. And I mean, I've seen it many times, but today I see it different.
Praise God.
So we have to know how to respond when those those times come.
That's right.
It doesn't look like where he told me to go.
That's right.
So now what?
And it doesn't feel good. And it doesn't look like anything's going right. You know, when God sent in 1975, when the Lord sent me to and my wife to Alexandria, Louisiana, where we had been for the last 2.5 years, I just knew where we were. They started a church there, Charismatic Teaching Center there in Lafayette, and within 2 years he had 250, 300 people. Really. And there was a great move of God. Well, when we went to Alexandria in 75, in August of 75, 2 years later, we were doing good to have 50. And I'm complaining to God one day. I'm telling him, something ain't right. What's the matter with me? How come we don't have a lot of people like they had down there? And the Lord just said, well. And the man that was the pastor there in Lafayette, where I come from, his name was Albert Willis. The Lord said, you're not Albert Willis, and this is not Lafayette, Louisiana. In Lafayette, it happened that way. Albert Willis had it that way, but he said, you're not Albert Willis, and this is not Lafayette, Louisiana. It's different here. And so, it don't make any difference. You do what God says do. If you come up on a problem, ask Him, okay, now what? If Abraham would have said, now what? God said, stay in the land. And he said, okay, I'm going to stay in the land. What do you want me to do? God told him, I guarantee you, God would have told him to plant some seed too. But Abraham didn't give God the chance. Yes, sir?
I think I learned to ask a question instead of passing judgment. It's just like the story you told. When I got to that same verse, I thought, well, that ain't fair. Just like you said, I was like, how come you told him but didn't?
Yeah.
So I didn't ask the question. I passed judgment. So
that's right. That's a good word, son.
The other thing is I thought I heard you say a couple of times if things go bad, but shouldn't you always ask God? Because sometimes things go good.
Yeah, and we
you think, well, okay. I got this excess, I'll go do this.
Yeah.
But shouldn't you ask, okay, well, I got this.
What do you want me to do with it?
Right.
You're exactly right, son. We may not know what God wants us to do. He may have sent it. God sent Abraham in a certain direction to a certain place, but he didn't know what he wanted him to do when he got there. He just responded to the problem. That's what he did. He reacted to the problem. My response should be to go to God and say, okay, now what do you want to do? And so you're exactly right. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, we need to be asking God. If God gave me $1 million tomorrow, would I just go poop it off and buy me a new house, a new car, and a bunch of stuff? Or would I say, okay, God, now you gave this to me. What do you want to do with it? Or even simpler than that, you go to work next week and you got a 50% raise. Oh my God, look here, I can buy me a new house now. Well, we might ought to, like you said, might always ask God, okay, God, I got a house to live in. I'm doing all right now. What do you want me to do with this? Why did you give me that? See, God will increase us, not necessarily just so we can consume it for ourselves, but so that we can be a channel through which His blessings can flow into the lives even of other people. It's really true. That's a good statement, son. Thank you for bringing that up. Anybody else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Is there some prayer need?
I'd like to have prayer for more wisdom.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, let's do that. Bless the Lord. Father, I thank you for my sister. I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and grace that does abide in her. And Father, I thank you that you said that Jesus has been made to be our redemption, our sanctification, and our wisdom. And so, Lord, as she draws near to you and accesses that wisdom that's already in her, Lord, you'll release it, cause a flow of it in and through her life to minister in strength, health, hope, endurance to those that you bring across her path. I thank you, Lord, for her willing obedience and faithfulness to your word, your will, and your way. And Father, I believe you to continue to cause fruitfulness to be made manifest in and through her and her life, her household, and this ministry and area of service that you've given to them. I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom working in her in a greater and enlarged measure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister, could I pray for you? Would you let me? See, I'm just going to ask you the question if I can. I'm not going to tell you. How old are your children?
I got a 4. They just changed different ages, so bear with me.
Okay. That's all right.
4, 7, and 11.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 4, 7, and 11. All right. You heard what I said, that God gave you 3 eternal beings. He trusted you with them. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just blessed and pleased with what you're doing, but you've learned some things this morning. Be asking God some questions about them. What are you doing in the lives of, what's your purpose in the lives of this, my son and my 2 daughters? Where do you want to go with them? And then he'll begin to show you. And it may be some stuff that you think, oh, that's crazy. Why would God want to take these little kids and do with them? Well, why would he do anything he did? Because he purposed to do that. You see, and God sees further than we see. That little boy and that young lady back there, that little girl, mm-hmm. God sees things that you don't have any idea that's going to come into their lives. And so as you draw near to God and trust him to help you speak life and demonstrate the life of God to them by the way you live, and by what you put in them. See, everything you do, they watch everything you do.
No doubt.
They hear everything you say.
And they repeat it too.
you bet you're right. They do.
I know.
They say it just like Mama said that.
That's right. You better not put it on me. That's right. She put that bill. That's right.
So you learn how to trust God and learn how to say what God says. And sometimes put your hand over your mouth so you don't say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Definitely.
Praise God.
Definitely.
Father, I thank you for this, your daughter. I thank you, Lord, for your hand on her. Father, I ask that you continue to give her grace and peace and wisdom to be able to see these eternal beings that you've given to her, to see them raised up to become all that you've called them to be. Just like Noah raised up, trained up his 3 sons, without even knowing in one day that you would be giving him an assignment and he would need his sons to help him, he still gave himself to you first and then raised those sons up in a way that they learned to hear his voice. Father, help her, instruct her, direct her path in this way, that her children will come up in such a way that the day will come that God will speak to them. That you, Father, will direct their path and enable them in their own time to see their own children raised up. That you're a generational God, Father, and you're looking a long way out in the life of this family. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for your goodness and kindness. I speak blessing, increase, and encouragement to my sister. And I thank you, Father, for the fruit that comes from that. In Jesus' name, I thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, dear.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, Dexter. Father, I thank you for your son. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life. I thank you, my Father, for your peace and your presence that abides in him. Father, I thank you that you've given him eyes to see and ears to hear. I thank you, Father, for the prophetic voice that lies within him. And Lord, as he yields himself to you and presents himself to you in full measure, Lord, that you'll bring forth through this man a river, a stream of living water that will bring life and light and liberty to those that you bring across his path. I thank you, my Father, and I praise you for your goodness and kindness in doing this. Give him grace and peace to fulfill all that you've spoken into his life. And I thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I love you, son.
Love you, too.
today.
God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on, Brother James. I want to pray with you too. Father, thank you for this, your son. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in his life. Thank you, Father, for the steadfastness, the stability, and the strength that you've placed in him. Thank you for rooting him and grounding him as a tree of righteousness. To stand fast in the storms, to stand fast in the stills, to stand fast even in the droughts. Lord, I thank you that he's planted by a river of living water. And he draws life, Father, from the flow, the stream, the river of the living God. And I thank you, Father, that he is a fruitful tree, a tree of righteousness that provides shade and sustenance for many. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Sister, would you let me pray? You can sit right there. You don't have to get up. I'll come back there to you. Is that all right? Tell me your name again.
Garney.
Garney. All right. Father, I thank you for Garney. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy being made manifest in her life. I thank you, Father, that you oversee and overshadow her, and that your provision and protection has been made manifest to her and through her and for her. And Lord, I ask that you continue to speak to her heart. Continue to work in her life. And let her see, Father, the full purpose, not only in her life, but in the life of her son. Father, let your grace and your kindness be made manifest there. And I speak blessing and peace to my sister. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear. You have a wonderful son.
Yes, sir.
Was he always a good little boy?
Generally, yes.
Generally. Sometimes he wasn't, though. I understand. Most of them are like that. Generally they are, but sometimes they're not. All right. Praise God. Let's stand up together. And I want a thing I want to do here that I have. Let me see if I can find it. I have a scripture. Oh, come on, Brother Tisdale. Must be here somewhere. Yeah, here it is. It's a blessing from the book of Hebrews. Lift your hands, and I want to speak this. All right, I can turn it back on if you want to. I want to speak this blessing over you that God spoke through the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Praise the Lord.
It was Hebrews 13 and
13:20.
Thank you.
Yeah.